Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom just read that item about, what is it, Tom? A tipsy toe service? So,
it's for those tipsy in need of a toe.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Sure. Hello, everybody. Buckmaster with you on this Friday, February the 5th, 2016. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Tom Fairbanks is engineering and producing our show, picking out some wonderful music for our Rock and Roll Friday. We were doing 60s bump music exclusively. We have expanded it now, and so now we'll be hearing pretty much anything that had to do with rock and roll as our bumper music. But that's still to come. Big shout-out on Friday to all of our media partners. Want to thank TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan over there, Dylan Smith, does a great job. Inside Tucson Business, thank you for posting the Buckmaster Show on your web page, a link. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, we will hear from him a little bit later in the show. And TucsonLifestyle.com, thank you for your support. And Southern Arizona News Examiner, Emil Franzi and friends, thanks. Our Friday Focus interview today, Adelita Grijalva, president of the Tucson Unified District Governing Board. Adelita is with us on the live line. TUSD is the second largest school district in Arizona. Joining me in studio to talk to Ms. Grijalva is Mari Herreras, the editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a question or comment or suggestion for our guests, the Buckmaster Show live line is for you at 790-2040. Our Facebook address, it's pretty easy to find. If you know my name, you can get there. Bill Buckmaster will get you to Facebook. And we're doing Twitter, slowly but surely, at Buckmaster Show. So let's go to the live line. Adelita Grijalva, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Thank you very much for being with us. I know you had a very busy day, and so we wanted to get you in the studio, but I understand you did have some commitments, but at least we have you on the telephone.
Yes, I'm sorry to not be there, but I am chaperoning for my daughter's field trip to the Desert Museum. So right now, I'm looking out to this beautiful scenery of the Sonoran Desert. But I do wish I was there face-to-face with you, Jim.
Big news, TUSD has decided to drop 63 DSEG-funded coordinator jobs. These jobs, I guess, are going away. Why are they going away, and what happens now to the salaries for those jobs, Adelita?
Well, they're learning support coordinators, and they were created two administrations ago for a post-unitary district to, you know, coordinate support services for our students. And it has been an ongoing concern, not for the plaintiffs and for the special master, and there was a recommendation over the phone that we transition away from learning support coordinators, and administration agreed. So there was a meeting yesterday with all of the employees that would be affected, basically saying we have plenty of vacancies for you to, you know, return to the classroom if you have your administrative certification. You know, we also are going to have opportunities for you, and so we really want to work to keep all of these educators in TUSD.
So it's really not determined at this point how many of those 63 will be out of a job, in effect.
No, there won't be any out of a job.
Okay.
And that was something that was made really clear to all of 63. There will be other positions in the district available, but the learning support coordinator position is being eliminated.
Okay.
So we have vacancies throughout the district. We have counselor positions. And so some of these people that are in these learning support positions were teachers, classroom teachers, counselors, and other support staff that we would love to have back in the classroom and keep on our campuses.
All right. Mari Herreras is here with me, Adelita. She'd like to ask you a question.
Does that $3 million, Adelita, get spent elsewhere? Do you know yet where those funds are going to be spent?
You know, yeah, right now we're in the middle of the budget process. And so it is a conversation and exchange between the district, the special master, and the plaintiffs, and then the court has to approve the expenditures. And so we're in the middle of that process, so that $3 million will be, you know, put into part of the discussion.
One of our Facebook friends asked me to ask you, when are we going to be raising teacher salaries? When are salaries going to go up in TUSD?
Well, the district has actually given teacher salaries, teachers' raises for the last 3 years. And that's the longest period of time since I've been on the board where we've consistently given raises. We obviously would like to give more, but there is definitely a raise projected for the upcoming school year. And then Ms. Foster, at the end of our last meeting, asked that we discuss an item regarding an override for teacher salaries. So that's something that's going to be part of a public discussion as well.
All right. We have a question from one of our listeners. Tom has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Tom. You're with the president of TUSD's governing board.
Madam President, what is the mood among taxpayers to privatize the systems, the school system?
Well, okay. Overall, from people that I've spoken to in general polls, people are very supportive of public education. We do have several bills that are getting some traction in at the Arizona legislature, pushing to expand the empowerment vouchers and essentially voucher programs. And so that's been a push for quite some time from several members of the majority at the legislature, and it's something that is a real concern for me.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that expansion of vouchers. There's a lot of questions about that, because that would basically make vouchers available to pretty much all students in Arizona. How would that be funded? That would be enormously expensive, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, essentially, you know, the funds are going to come from the very the very minuscule funding that we already have in public education, and that's going to be something that is going to have an impact on education funding. So, you know, there isn't really any conversation about how it's going to get funded. If the bill passes, then the conversation will, you know, then start about, you know, are we going to give school districts, are we going to go to current year funding, which is going to be problematic for many districts. You know, there's a lot of question marks about that.
Here's Mari again.
Adelita, I know that a couple years ago, I remember writing about this when DeConcini Law Firm was dropped and Rusin, Lopez, and Lizardi was brought in as the new firm representing TUSD in the desegregation case. There have been that group of critics, you know, have come forward again and have said, you know, this is going on that we now have a third law firm that's been brought in, Steptoe & Johnson in Phoenix, a $5 million contract to represent TUSD in the DSEG case. And there, you know, some questioning about why a new firm. Is Sanchez not hearing what he wants to hear regarding DSEG? And also the amounts, you know, $5 million. Is that, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and basically, it's the ability to spend that much, but that was actually something that was in previous contracts with other firms as well. Okay. So the anticipation is that we're not going to spend any more money than we spent last year for outside legal counsel. But really, the logic behind it is that we want to position the district to have a good record and prepare documents in order to show the courts that we have reached, you know, at least partial unitary status in some sections of the unitary status plan. And so really it's looking for who has the expertise in order to document that, to go through the process with the district to show, yes, this is a good record and this is going to be compelling, or no, you're not collecting the right data and we need to show this in order for, you know, the courts to agree. And so I think that's always been an issue for the district, that there are many areas of the unitary status plan that even the special master and the plaintiffs say, you know, there has been a lot of progress in the unitary status plan, but we haven't gone for partial unitary status for any portion. So some of the things that we're talking about is going for transportation and interscholastics, where we can prove that we've, you know, set up a lottery system for enrollment so that transportation dollars are following what that process is, and if everyone is happy with that process, and that's been essentially the same process for the last 2 years, that can we move forward to say, you know, the transportation dollars are going to follow that plan, which everyone is in agreement is working, you know, as well as it can be for a lottery system. So there are just some areas of the unitary status plan that we've made some gains, and we want to sort of dip our toe in the water on what this process is going to look like and what kind of documentation the courts are going to want. So when we're looking at some of the bigger issues in the Unitary Status Plan, we know what kind of documentation we need to provide the courts.
Is there any threat to the nearly $64 million that the district receives each year to bring its schools into racial balance and improve the outcomes for minority students? Is there any threat to that money from this current session of the Arizona legislature?
Well, my understanding is the current bill that's being proposed by Representative Lesko has more to do with tapering down DSEG. I believe the last iteration that TUSD would be exempt at least this year because we are under a current order. So the concern is, and again, all of that can change. So any bill that's coming forward that, you know, has to do with desegregation, all of the districts that are affected are going to be very concerned. And, you know, I've seen some postings from Phoenix Union board members who had a huge turnout in their community asking people to, you know, contact their legislators about this issue and the incredible impact that it's going to have. You know, one of the concerns that I see is that all of these districts that have desegregation funds had some vestiges of a dual school system and put in plans in order to eliminate those vestiges. Once that funding is gone for, let's say, our magnet programs or our transportation, then how do we continue to ensure that we don't slide back? And, you know, our districts are having a hard time getting through to different members in the legislature who insist that, you know, this isn't equitable.
All right.
They want it to be equal with all other districts. And I just think that you have to look at the demographics of each school district that is receiving the funds and that there are reasons for it.
All right. Adelita Grijalva with us on the Buckmaster Show Live. She's the president of the TUSD Governing Board. She will be back with us after we take our first break on our Friday Focus interview. Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly will also stick around. But right now, it is Rock and Roll Friday on Buckmaster. Some bumper music some music I think you'll recognize.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your
eyes. Turn around.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Rock and Roll Friday bumper music, Bonnie Tyler. That's Holding Out for a Hero. She's got so many hits. I didn't realize till I bought her Best Of CD that I realized got like at least a dozen hits from late 70s into the 80s, kind of a little disco-y, and then club music, you might say. Anyway, Adelita Grijalva is with us. Adelita is the president of the TUSD Governing Board. She's on the live line from the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. She's doing some things with the kids out there, and we have in studio, Mari Herreras is with us. Mari is with, of course, the editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Mari, you're up to the plate.
Say hello to the otter for me. That's one of my favorite ones.
The kids were the most excited about the otter.
I love that guy.
He's a mountain lion, but he was super fun.
The mountain lion's cool, too.
Yeah.
So, Alita, the other thing that's come up is regarding this layoff of teachers. I think close to 600 and that are going to be expecting pink slips. And at the same time, this recruitment of teachers on the East Coast, I think about 15 teachers will be joining TUSD. Am I correct on that?
Well, I don't know the actual numbers, but I know that we're doing a lot of recruiting and trying to, you know, bring teachers from outside of Arizona because, you know, every district is going to be dealing with their own problems, even, you know, some of the districts that historically haven't had issues in filling teacher vacancies are going to be having some problems this year.
Well, I know a lot of districts have reported back they're concerned about the job fairs that they're having, that they're just not seeing folks come in. And I guess maybe the good thing about recruiting outside is that these folks don't really know how crazy we are over here, and that could be could be a benefit.
My understanding from anyone that's coming in from out of state just has to Google us, and so they're aware of what the concerns are. You know, the other thing is that we really aren't competitive. I mean, even in Arizona, we have concerns about teacher salaries, but really when you look nationally, we're going to be running up with the fact that there are people that could stay even in closer neighboring states and make significantly more than we're offering here in Arizona. So, as attractive as we can make moving to Tucson and, working in our district, what we're doing.
Who are, I mean, the teachers that are going to be getting these pink slips, should they be worried? And if we're pink slipping teachers, but we're also having problems filling spots, what's happening in TUSD?
But I guess I'm concerned. I haven't heard about any teachers getting any pink slips
okay.
in our district. None. I mean, so we have vacancies where we need teachers. We're doing recruiting. Like I mentioned earlier, the learning support coordinators, none of those people, everyone is guaranteed a position in our district because we are going to have vacancies. So we're continue to recruit. We have positions available, and anyone working in a classroom in our district or, you know, with a certification will have a job next year. I mean, we're recruiting very heavily from any of the teachers who are doing their methods in our classroom. So any of the student teachers, I mean, they're getting letters of commitment from the district. So, yeah, we really are doing everything we can to keep the quality teachers that we have and recruit as many as we can.
So as far as you're concerned, Adelita, no teachers in TUSD are getting pink slips?
No. We have a shortage of teachers, and we're projecting one. And we're not alone in this. You know, every other district that I've, you know, read about is going to have concerns. So we know that the competition is there, and we're actually trying to make working in TUSD be as attractive as possible, you know, increasing where we can, giving salary increases where we can, and we're going to continue to do that because we know that that is the biggest draw. I mean, you can have a beautiful facility, you can have the best, you know, principal on a campus, but if you don't have a quality teacher in that classroom, that's when parents start to look around to see what else is available, and we want our students to stay and be happy with TUSD.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Ingrid has called us, has a question for Adelita. Go ahead.
Hi. A lot of us look at the local school systems and find plenty of fault with the allocation of funds and with the product, as it's so often called, the performance of the students. Wouldn't you agree that the teachers are really should be thought of as the head honchos, and everybody else outside of the classroom is part of the support system, that the teachers should be paid well, and people like H.T. Sanchez should get a huge salary cut? He doesn't teach these students. He has assistance from departments, and he works to get the funds and so forth for the area. Our children are forced to sit on buses unnecessarily. They're exhausted, back and forth to school.
And what is your question, Ingrid, quickly?
How are you going to address the issue of the fact that the teachers are put at the bottom of the totem pole?
Okay.
And Mr. H.T. Sanchez is like the king of the system.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid. Go ahead, Adelita.
So I think that there are a couple of issues that I have. As far as, you know, I have been in this district and working on the governing board for this is my fourth term, and we have had six different people in the superintendency. That kind of change in leadership has caused many ripple effects in our district, where initiatives start and end with new administrations coming in, and that kind of instability is not good for a campus. We've had campuses that were really wonderful campuses, and then there was a change in leadership, and, you know, maybe that wasn't a good fit, maybe teachers were unhappy, and so, I mean, it really is the entire team that has to work together. I definitely agree that the teacher in the classroom is important, but all of the support systems that are available to them, whether it is really a wonderful mentor, a principal that can come in the classroom and provide support, whether it is, you know, your colleagues that are working next door to you or in the same grade in your school, getting together with other cohorts and doing trainings, like, for example, our bilingual dual language teachers, getting together with cohorts with them, teachers that have like issues across the district that are getting together and working together. Those are things, and those systems and support is something that you really can't put a price tag on, and that's something that we're doing in our district and doing really well. And so all of the professional development, all of those things have to tie together. And absolutely, you will never hear me say that teachers in any district in Arizona are getting paid what they are worth.
All right.
As a mom, right, you know, as a mom of three kids, I know that that is important, and that's something that we are going to push for. But, you know, to say that any all of this stuff is sort of happening in a vacuum and not supported by other things that are going on in the district, I think is a mistake.
All right. I have less than a minute. Walter, your question. We have Walter with us on the live line. He wants to know who the TUSD board answers to. Go ahead, Walter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you could give me a short answer.
Okay.
Is there an entity above school district that has authority over them?
Okay.
If they're not abiding by their own governing board or policies or whatsoever.
All right. Thank you, Walter.
Right. We have the attorney general that has had, you know, you can complain to, but really, ultimately, the people that are in charge of the board are the constituents that voted us into office.
That's going to do it. Adelita Grijalva, we will let you get back to the kids out there at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum.
Thank
Boy,
you.
I can't think of a better day. It's like a Chamber of Commerce day to be out at the Desert Museum. What a beautiful day.
Yeah. It really is beautiful, and we have a lot of other field trips here, so there are many children all over the place.
All right.
It's really great. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you. You too. Bye, Maddie.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with our Friday roundtable right after this break on the Buckmaster Show.
It's a heartache. Nothing but a heartache. Hits you when it's too late. Hits you when you're down. It's a fool's game.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at RTAmobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Plus, we'll talk with our nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom, on how to stay well for the rest of the winter. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream at podcasts and our show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Rock and Roll Friday. Dan Shear joining us now from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. We've dropped the 60s bump, exclusive 60s bump music, expanding it now, just calling it Rock and Roll Friday. So there might be music that you might recognize.
Well, more and more Carpenters. As long as they have the Carpenters, maybe a little Osmonds.
Well, all of that now is fair game. You know, getting out of the 60s.
Absolutely.
We can do the Carpenters. Mari Herreras also joining us for this segment, was with us for the Adelita Grijalva segment at the top of the show. But Dan, one of the big stories, and probably the story actually, your story was great, but probably the one that will have the most impact long-term on this community is the news about the A-10 sticking around.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I will be honest with you, and I'll just put myself out there. I didn't think it could happen. I thought that the forces against it were just too strong and that it was going to be pulled at some point. But I think we had several people, of course, jump in and defend this. But Martha McSally, having been there, having sat in the cockpit and led the charge in that fighter jet, she really caused people to just stand up and take notice of the capabilities of it and the fact that we need it right now. And I think that certainly helped push it over the line. So congratulations to her and to others and to Tucson itself. However, start thinking ahead because it's probably not going to be forever.
Yeah, and McCain.
Sure.
Gets he did as well.
Too. I mean,
right.
My goodness. What is he, head of the Senate? Military Affairs.
Armed Services Committee.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. But that's big time, so that helped.
Right. There's no doubt I think the big part of it is the reason why it was saved was looking ahead at what's to come. I mean, internationally, and, you know, we're going to continue to be involved in things, and we
and
need
this
the
war
A-10.
On ISIS. Yeah. The A-10 has really proven to be so vital over there.
Yeah, and again, maybe this is our lesson to think 5-10 years ahead. Okay, what are we going to do with this base? What are we going to do to preserve it? Not only for Tucson, but also internationally, how can we help? How can our area here with great flying weather and all of this?
All right. 2 weeks ago today, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, we had Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll as our Friday Focus mm-hmm. interview. And Dan, you were with me. And the first question I asked him, well, not after he had explained that he was talking to us from a funeral, he'd just been to a funeral, but my first question was about his future.
Right, and he was very reflective and said that he was in a time of reflection right now, and he didn't tell you, no, I'm not going to run. I was able to nail down, you know, a short time later through several sources that he indeed was not going to. He will announce that later on today, but he all but said it 2 weeks ago, Bill, on your show, that 20 years, I think the way he worded it, is a nice round number, and mm-hmm. we have known that he's been really thinking about this seriously since about December, and he eventually did confirm that. But so he will be out, and he'll announce that today. We'll see what happens.
And congratulations, Dan, to you and your staff, because you were able to get three really rock-solid sources that said this thing was over.
Absolutely, and it's very rare that newspapers go with anonymous sources,
right.
And I want everybody to know that we certainly did not do that easily. I could count on three fingers the number of times I've done that in a 30-year career. This was absolutely rock solid. Of course, it turned out to be true. I know it steals a little bit of thunder away from Ray, but we are a newspaper.
And Ray did confirm now to the
yes.
Star, which is It's a bit odd because the confirmation is coming just a few hours before
the press conference.
Right, so. And I don't know if Ray really knew how to handle this. I spoke to him last night, and he confirmed it, you know, with me on the phone, and he's getting ready to head off to Israel, which he's calling, you know, his pilgrimage. He's really looking forward to this as a you know, personal trip and to, you know, get a little bit of work done. But I think he is really in a point where he, as he worded it to me, I've still got a lot of gas in the tank. I'm going to still be around. And of course, somebody 20 years on the Board of Supervisors is not going to step out and never be heard from again. So he'll certainly be influential. And we're going to look over the next few talks with him over the next few weeks and months and really just kind of put together a story about what he has done, particularly for our area down in Green Valley.
And people are lining up to run.
They're lining up to run, and we've had people, though, that have come up before. Do you remember the last term, and it was unsuccessful?
Yeah, he had competition, but he won very easily.
Yeah, and usually it was in the primary. I mean, I think always it was, and he's really had no issues other than the very first one back in the 90s. You know, after he had been appointed to the seat, then they had a special election that was fairly contentious. But pretty much had an easy go of it, yet he's had to defend himself. And Ray comes off as, you know, a fighter, but I think deep down some of he's been wounded a few times with words. And I think he's been pretty open sometimes about how the fact that, yeah, this job can get pretty rough, and then you sit up there as a supervisor and the call to the public, and they're just raking you over the coals, and you just have to sit there and listen.
I'd be kind of curious what Dan thinks about this, especially with Green Valley and that constituency, but the change, political climate, you know, and how it's changed. I mean, before, when it was him and Ann Day, you know, they were kind of a team, and they took Huckleberry on in their own special way, right?
Mm-hmm. That is a great point, because...
So the people who are going to step forward to run actually,
has changed.
You know, who are these people going to be? That district, the one thing that's always been interesting is that the way Ray was able to work that district, he had solid Democratic constituents that really backed him. That's why he came. He was always one of those people that could take the lead on, like, the mine, for instance.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do it with confidence and I wonder what we'll see. You know, what do you think will happen?
Well, and he was very candid with us, and the mine, open space, certain issues that maybe you wouldn't expect that a Republican would go for. And then you get Allie Miller in there, and frankly, they just don't get along, and that's putting it very mildly. And so now you basically have a 4-1 split. And so who is the next one to come in there and talk about really getting the board unified? Not that they're going to agree on everything, but really just focused on Pima County moving forward. We in the media have been focusing all the staff changes and the infighting and the backbiting and everything, and that's really too bad. We want Pima County to move ahead, and who is this next person that's going to be willing to wade into that? Dylan Smith over at TucsonSentinel.com is reporting Steve Christie will jump into it, and so we already have Marla Closen, who is a Republican, also already in the race and has been since last summer. So we'll see. I think we're going to see more, though.
And I've got Marla, I think, slated for next week. So, and of course, we have heard that name, Steve Christie. Josh has called us at 790-2040. He'd like to ask you a question, Dan Scheer, as soon as we grab a headset for you. And I think Josh's question has to do with the charter change. And perhaps, Dan, you can answer that one for him. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, actually, it's probably more for Marty. My comment was Dan's not really involved, but it does affect him because that is the largest district, you know, the largest big player in town. But what do you think will happen with the city charter change for both Marty and Dan? And what do you think should happen for both of you?
Okay, go ahead, Marty. The charter change wouldn't affect the supervisor districts.
No. You switched subjects on me. It was mainly, it was for Marty, but I want Dan to comment on it.
Okay.
Tucson's the biggest player in there.
Tucson being the biggest player in the county, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it affects everybody. That's why I want Dan to be involved. But mainly it's for you. What do you think will happen? What should happen?
I'm not actually 100% in terms of looking at the big picture. I think what will happen will be, I think it'll be good for the county. I think that... going in that direction actually would make it so that Tucson is probably, I mean, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but a better player in being able to be in that with the county rather than what we've seen in the past, although that has improved. I'm not sure if that's a vital answer.
You know, and I think anything, and I agree with Mari, that anything that unites the county and the city is going to be a good thing, because we have to operate as a county as we deal with the rest of Arizona, and we're trying to attract people and businesses and everything like that. So anything that will unite that. We saw in the last election, though, in the bond election, that the outskirts, Oro Valley, Marana, Sarita, Green Valley, Vail, are really, in a sense, kind of out of step with Tucson, which I thought was very interesting. You know, they called it that donut, if you look at the results and everything. And I thought, wow, and I come from the Phoenix area, and at some point, the outlying communities, you know, Surprise, Mesa, Tempe, Chandler, even Scottsdale, kind of divorce themselves from Phoenix, because they realize that even though Phoenix is the elephant in the room, you can get things done without them on board. I'm not quite sure they're going to be as effective in Pima County doing that, divorcing themselves from Tucson. So I think anything that unites it is best.
Okay. Dan, you wrote about from in the Green Valley News, the young guy and his ideas. And we're talking about Mr. Joel Fineman, who is going to be challenging in the Democratic primary the longtime Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall, who's been in office. Barbara's been in office, I think, 20 years, right?
20 years, and then she was 20 years with the department before that. So she has 40 years of this legal experience here in Pima County, and I've spoken to her also actually just today. But Joel is 38, been out of law school less than 10 years, and has been working for the public defender's office. By all accounts, a very good attorney, very smart, has some good ideas. The rap on him, if we can put it that way, is that he just lacks experience. And one is management experience. The other is prosecutorial experience. He has not ever prosecuted the case. He's been, defending criminals. Basically, he's somewhat of an activist. He certainly has some ideas that really probably should be taken to the state legislature rather than to the county attorney's office, as far as what kind of crimes we should be going after. Some very, very interesting to talk to, very engaging. Enjoyed it.
And he has been defending alleged criminals. And Barbara LaWall responds how to this?
Barbara LaWall doesn't really have to say much, because 40 years in that department has really spoken for itself. She hasn't just been warming a chair. She's been involved in a lot of different programs there that are outlined on the website. And if you ever hear her speak personally, her passion is children. She had the Safe Baby program and several other things. And remember, she at one time was an English teacher, and she wanted to go into law to make things better in the education field. Well, it kind of morphed into helping children through legal means, but it's gotten much bigger than that. And she has put together some really impressive programs, particularly for people who are addicted to drugs. Let's not just throw them into jail and forget about them. Let's try to rehab. It's very in-depth, and she has many programs and a world of experience.
Well, I'd remind Joel and other people who are interested in going into this kind of politics, you know, especially a county attorney office, that usually the recommendation is that you be the kind of person who practices prosecutorial law, because that's the one thing you don't want to go to voters and be saying that I've helped criminals. Barbara LaWall's also always been out there as a person who said, I go after criminals.
That is
no bones about it. And voters, that appeals to voters. Joel is a very charismatic young man, and I happen to have a love for public defenders. I think they're awesome people. I know many of them, but this is an interesting race for himself to get himself into as a first timer. You know,
Mari and Dan, the local cameras that captured the glimpse of the only wild jaguar in the United States. Very
cool.
Interesting.
Very cool.
It's really cool. And my question for Dan, who has covered the Rosemont mine issue, and I was just, that was what came to mind when I saw this story, and I thought, is this going to have any impact on the decision that will eventually be made here by the government.
Yeah, I don't think it will, but of course everybody who's looked at the video and is promoting it certainly wants it to. They're going to make the argument that that one animal out there should derail the mine, and they've been throwing everything at the mine. And of course, again, we're still waiting on a couple of permits, but I think that they would make an argument. I think it's a very weak argument. You have one. Doesn't it take two to make a third? So I'm not sure how you're going to preserve, you know, this animal other than, you know, capturing it and helping it some other way. Now, I'm not suggesting that. I'm simply saying it's one animal running around, and when it's gone, it's gone. Right. Do they assume there's a second? Do they assume it just passes through here every once in a while? I don't know, but it's a very weak argument to throw against the Rosemont mine.
Well, we saw what happened when last time we captured a jaguar was in the Santa Cruz County, I believe, right? And that didn't go over so well.
No, did not.
Right, but also what, according to the Center for Biodiversity, the last time a female jaguar has been seen in the United States was 1963.
Right. Mm.
So she's either really old now and not capable of having babies, or maybe there's another one out there. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what point they're making other than it's there and it's beautiful and it's a very unique, it is a unique event. Obviously, it's important. Is it enough to tank a mine? No.
All right. Interesting poll came out. It is that season. We're getting polling on the John McCain. If John McCain survives the primary, yes, Kelly Ward, former state senator from Lake Havasu City, who was in Tucson this week, did a lot of appearances. She'll be running against John McCain in the primary. But there was a poll that showed that McCain and Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick are very close in the polling.
Yeah,
so
I've
that's
heard
very
that McCain is solid, you know.
Who knows? And this A-10 thing can't hurt.
No, it certainly can't. And Kelly Ward has certainly been out there. You see her everywhere. Certainly going to put up a good fight there. But really, this one is for the general election, most likely.
All right. Thank you for, both very much. It is a beautiful weekend out there, and I'm sure both of you will enjoy it. Dan Scheer, again, congratulations on the work you did this week at the Green Valley News. And Mari Herreras, we'll look for what's coming up in the weekly.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Be right back.
How to whisper, and I know just how to cry, and know just where to find the answers, and I know just how to lie, and know just how to fake it, and I know just how to scheme. I know just when to face the truth, and then I know just when to dream, and I know just where to touch you.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and Hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip time, 3 hours east of Tucson to a great environment. Why not check out the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument? Really a beautiful place just north of Silver City. Great places to stay in the area, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Georgetown Cabins, just to name a few. The full listing of the many places to stay and many things to do listed at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now the Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. All I have to say is TGIF, Bill. It's Friday. We made it.
You almost called in as president and CEO. Of course, you have that kind of leeway at Russell Public Communication, the award-winning place up on the in the foothills. You almost called in and said you're ready to start right now, the weekend.
That's right, and Bill gave me permission, so the weekend is officially underway.
What do we got going? Any festivals?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, tomorrow at the Tucson Botanical Gardens from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the annual Savor Food and Wine Festival. Stroll through those beautiful gardens and sample some of the best cuisine and libations from more than 40 local restaurants and wineries and breweries. Now, there's also going to be live entertainment from two stages throughout the afternoon, along with a weather forecast that I think you just can't beat. Now, last I checked, Bill, there's only a few tickets remaining, so you can go to TucsonBotanical.org to get them before they disappear.
Tucson does breweries so well, and there's a brew company that's celebrating a big anniversary.
Yeah, a celebration of suds is planned for tomorrow at 2 o'clock and going deep into the evening. Third anniversary celebration of the 1055 Brewing Company on 44th Street over there near Dodge. Now, these guys are going to be tapping into some of their classic brews, along with some new anniversary releases, like a cherry version of their chocolate milk stout. There's also going to be great food from Riley Craft Pizza and gourmet hot dogs from the Blacktop Grill, along with games and a DJ. Lots of fun under the sun at 1055 Brewing tomorrow.
And this just isn't any other Sunday. It is Super Bowl Sunday.
And so much going on all over town for the big game. My pick for Super Bowl 50 is Risky Business on the corner of Sunrise and Cold. They've got one of the largest projection screens in town with a number of other televisions surrounding the bar and the dining room, so there's not a bad seat in the house. And, of course, it's not Super Bowl, Bill, without chicken wings. And these are some of my favorite four flavors and spice levels, including their famous whiskey wings. I say follow that with a Moo, Cluck, and Oink burger, and you'll be doing a touchdown dance of your own at Risky Business for Super Bowl.
What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Yeah, the craft cocktail movement continues to grow, Bill, and the latest wave is inspired by, wait for it, the prickly pear cactus. Ooh. So what do cacti and cocktails have in common? You got to read my story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
I'm going to do it right after the show ends here in a few seconds and find out the answer to that one. Matt Russell, have a great Super Bowl weekend.
Back at you, Bill. Thanks so much.
Remember, we have 6 hours of local talk here, Monday through Friday on KVOI, more than any other station in town. Weekend, we have all sorts of local shows, including, you know it, Swap Shop Trains a-coming at 10 a.m. with Mr. Charles Heller on Sunday morning. Who knows? 1970s shag carpet and psychedelic curtains? Get your 70s memorabilia with Charles on Swap Shop. The Bill Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of all of the team here at KVOI, Mr. and Mrs. Doug Martin, of course, the owners. We've got production ace Jerry Cross, producer Ed Alexander, my producer on Friday, Tom Fairbanks, and Ray Allen, of course, my producer during the week. Have a great weekend, everybody.